Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports Today. It is a Football Friday here on the show. Frank and Nick, David Matic, Fantasy Sports Talk for 2 hours every single day from noon to 2 Eastern. It's an exciting weekend for the NFL. We've got a lot of games going on. 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday. I think yesterday I said 2 on Sunday. That was a mistake. So 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, 1 on Monday. And Davis, the most exciting part for me sitting here with you today is, yes, we get to go through all of this and make our picks and sort of predict what's going to happen. But the exciting part for me on a Friday like this is the unknown, because I know that we're going to be back here on Monday with something crazy, with something we didn't expect, we didn't predict. And that's the thing that gets me excited, is not knowing what we're going to be sitting here and talking about on Monday.
You're absolutely correct. You know, the Bills would have lost in heartbreaking fashion to the Patriots, a star player for the 49ers or the Cowboys, whoever wins that game, gets banged up. You know, the Steelers give the Chiefs a game where no one believes in the Steelers. You're absolutely right. I mean, there are so many different things that could happen in the, well, I guess I was going to say 48 hours, but it's actually more like 72 hours this weekend. But you are absolutely correct, Craig. You could not be more correct. We are going to come back on Monday and on Tuesday, and the show we are going to be doing, we're going to have lots of surprises to discuss, I'm certain.
Yeah, very much looking forward to that here on Monday. Of course, don't forget Sunday morning, myself, Matt Stryker, Joe Pizzapia will be with you, helping you set your DFS lineups, which we're going to do on the show today on FanDuel as well. So let's get to our headlines here on the show. Away from what's coming here in the Super Wild Card weekend, the Houston Texans dropped the bomb on first-year coach David Culley. I don't think anybody at the beginning of the season, that starts our headlines, by the way, I don't think anybody at the beginning of the season thought that David Culley would even make it to year two, but I thought he did a pretty good job and he ended up staying there. But nope, nonetheless, he is out. Also, Chris Ballard, yesterday from the Indianapolis Colts, the general manager, says that they are non-committal on Carson Wentz being back at quarterback. We're going to hear from Ballard a little bit later in the show. Major League Baseball's labor negotiations, a one and done, kind of like our fantasy football league. I don't know about that, but at the very least, it didn't seem like much progress was made on Thursday. And another big game for Giannis in a big game for the Milwaukee Bucks, Davis, and we'll hear from Giannis coming up next segment. Interestingly enough, and I didn't know this, I know you're following it a lot closely than I am, but it appears as though, at least from what Giannis says, and we'll hear from him, is that the Bucks are getting up for like all these big games and winning. And then when they play the teams that are lesser, they're still playing their guys, but they're all losing all of those games. So doesn't that kind of summarize the NBA, though? 82-game season, nobody really cares, you know, what happens in October, November, December, January. Then all of a sudden, after the All-Star break, it seems like it picks up a little bit. But I thought some interesting comments. We'll hear from Giannis coming up.
Yeah, well, you know, it just all comes out in the wash. That's why there's an 82-game season. That's why there's 162 games in baseball. And that's why those sports feature far less variance in terms of who makes the playoffs, who makes the all-pro team, you know, which I mean, people love that about football, that 17 games. There's a great table out there that you guys can find on what the NFL season would look like if every game that was within 6 points, so every one-score game, if it had gone the other way. And, you know, basically the playoffs would look, you know, we'd have eight different teams in the playoffs. It's really right. Remarkable. And I mean, that's something I love about the NBA is you don't really know what's going to happen on any given night.
As we welcome in our radio audience, Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid Radio. If fantasy is your thing, you're in luck. We're here for you for the next 2 hours. Let's get back to Houston here for a minute because we have so many other things to talk about here on the show. Not surprised that David Culley is one and done. More of a surprise based on the way the season ended, Davis, and sort of how, you know, clearly the general manager, setting Houston up to fail this season. And it makes sense. They need picks. They were supposed to be the worst team in the league. May I add, by far, they were not the worst team in the league. They played better at least than two or three teams. And I know that we were both surprised about that. David Culley will probably get a job somewhere else. But, I mean, I didn't even realize that he's owed all this money. Like, what was Houston thinking? Like, they sort of knew he was going to be one and done, but yet they gave him a 3 or 4 year deal. How about that?
So I thought this was very bizarre. And yesterday we talked about this on the show. And I said, you know, that's a little harsh, right? I maybe kind of felt bad for David Culley. And then I thought about it a little bit more. And this is where I landed. Giving a guy who was basically, like, let's be honest, he was an interim head coach. The team did not have any, they did not think they were going to win this year. They thought they were going to be trading Deshaun Watson away, but certainly they knew Deshaun Watson would not be their quarterback. David Culley came in to win four games. That was why he was hired, to win four games. He did his job. Initially I think I felt bad. I was like, why did the Texans fire this guy? And then I'm like, well, this was probably the plan the entire time. And then they can actually start the rebuild now. However, you would have to be a little bit critical of the organization for, if you knew that was the plan, why did you give him a 4-year, $22 million contract when you were...
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
Planning on firing him anyways. Now again, NFL teams, they basically print money. Of course, head coach money doesn't count against the salary cap. So I don't feel that bad for him in the end.
Yeah, no, feeling bad for him personally, impossible with all that money he's going to make. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to what they're doing. The only thing that, you know, sort of occurs to me that would tie a bow on this whole thing is, look, let's be honest. If they hire Brian Flores to be their next head coach, then the whole thing adds up. They, you know, found somebody that they thought that they really wanted. But beyond that, kind of odd. All right, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Time for our fantasy standouts in the NBA from Thursday night. Of course, we're going to help you set a DFS lineup coming up in the second hour of the show. So if you got to tune out, whether you're listening on radio or TV, you can catch us on demand. Of course, over on YouTube, this is Fantasy Sports Today, Craig Mish and Davis Maddock. Let's go through our standouts from last night. There were a ton to talk about here. We'll start off with SGA from Davis's Oklahoma City Thunder with the near triple-double, 33 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Giannis in the triple-double fashion with what I would call maybe their biggest win of the season against Golden State, 30 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, and 3 blocks. Nothing for Steph Curry last night. James Harden, 26, 7, 9, 3, and 3. No huge surprise there. The revenge narrative does factor in. Facundo Campazzo, 18 points, 12 assists, 4 steals. And D'Angelo Russell for the Timberwolves had 29 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 block. Well, before we get to what happened with all of these players in the NBA last night, as I mentioned, the Milwaukee Bucks, the defending champions, basically have that target on their back. They put their best basketball together of the season last night, especially defensively against the Golden State Warriors. A very thoughtful Giannis after the game talking about not just what happened in last night's game, but why the Bucks are getting up for all of these big games.
I'm happy. I think we built good habits today, defensively especially. I really don't pay attention offensively, but defensively we built very good habits. We were helping one another. We took the assignment of guarding one of the best players in the league. We did it together. It wasn't just Wes. It wasn't just Chris, and whoever guarding was all of us together, right? So that's a good habit. I think in the last two games that we played, we wasn't sharp enough on defense. We wasn't rebounding the ball well. We wasn't showing help. We wasn't being active. And, you know, we had a very good practice yesterday that we haven't practiced in a while as a team to play up and down, you know. And I think it kind of carried over to the game that we got to be more active. You know, we got to guard. Like, that's when we are at our best. When we guard, we rebound the ball, and then we go the other way. We try to figure out what we're going to do. And usually, like, we have 5 great players on the court, great shooters. Guys can play in the post. Bobby, Chris, I can take guys off the dribble, shoot three. Like, we have great players. We're going to figure that out, but we have to defend. And today was a good day. No matter the outcome of the game, up 30, 40, 20, that we built good habit moving forward, because at the end of the day, nobody's going to remember this game in 2 months. All we're going to remember that we were able to, together as a team, limited Steph Curry as a team defensively. That's all we can carry over from this game.
That being said, I mean, you know, against these guys and then these two Nets games, you guys have really kind of, like, you know, almost shown up for, well, not shown up for every game, but you've gotten up for these games against other kind of title contenders. Why is that? And do you feel there's any kind of message you guys can send with these wins?
I don't know. You know, we show up to these games, and then we go in, you know, give credit to Charlotte, but unbelievable team to play hard. Then we go and lose in Charlotte. Like, maybe it's the energy, I don't know. The energy of the crowd, the energy, like, you know, like the excitement around the game. And but at the end of the day, we have to realize that we are a very big target right now. Everybody wants to be the champs. Everybody's going to come and play. You know, when we go and play in Detroit, you know, in Monday night, Wednesday night, or whatever the case might be, and we think that we're going to be able to just walk our way through that game, it's not the same no more, because they're excited to play us. You know, they're excited to beat us, you know. So I don't know why we play well in big games. It's good, but at the end of the day, we just got to keep building good habits moving forward. Big games, with a big excitement, or even games that nobody watch, nobody cares about, we have to keep building good habits so we can be good in May and June.
Very thoughtful Giannis after the game, Davis, last night. That could be something not to watch now, but as he mentioned, when the playoffs come, remembering that regardless of what the Bucks record is at the end of the season, provided that they play well in the playoffs, they should at the very least come close to being the favorite to win the East again this year.
I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, they just wiped the floor with the Warriors last night, and the Bucks have this really interesting roster where they can basically play anyway. If they want to play small, Giannis at center, including him bringing the ball up. You know, Giannis, I mean, name a guy in the NBA that Giannis can't defend, right? I mean, he could go up against Kevin Durant. He could guard Nikola Jokic. He could guard Steph Curry. Like, he can literally do everything. And if they want to, they can also play big. You know, they can play Bobby Portis at center. They can play Jordan and War at center if they want to go super, super small. And, you know, I think there was sort of an opinion that perhaps they would suffer a championship hangover. They weren't able to really make very many roster moves because of how up against the salary cap they were. But it looks like they mostly have done a good job.
All right, let's get to the rest of the standouts from last night. Harden, you mentioned yesterday you thought that there'd be a chance that he had a big game, and he did. Who else piqued your interest?
I mean, there were a fair number of guys. Mostly last night, of course, my attention was caught by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. 33 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Who is that against? The Brooklyn Nets. Now, Kevin Durant didn't play. Kyrie Irving did not play. But clearly the reason why those guys were rested was Steve Nash and the Nets front office looked at the schedule and they say, all right, let's just go ahead and get an easy win here. Let's let James go nuts against his old team. Didn't end up happening. Craig, you probably didn't see this. Amazing play at the end of the game. Shai's at the top of the key, dribbles past James Harden, and basically slithers through the entire Nets team. He passes through 4 Nets defenders and gets this incredible layup. He's having a great season. 22 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists on 55% true shooting. And the Thunder, I mean, look, I love them. They're kind of screwing themselves by being as competitive as they've been. I don't think they're going to get the number one pick in this draft. And it would be, certainly it's a little bit of bad luck the way they've structured this team to not get the number one pick at all while they're tanking. I mean, imagine how much better, like, imagine where they'd be in the development curve had they gotten Evan Mobley or Cade Cunningham. And look, Josh Giddey's been good, but Josh Giddey is not, you know, in the same universe of where those two guys are. So I love you, Shai, but I think we need to invent like an ankle injury or something for you pretty soon.
Yeah, the tanking, you know, Detroit's doing a really good job of that. Orlando, I think, is doing a pretty good job of that. Who's the West tanker this year in the West?
It's the Houston Rockets are the big Again? Tanking team yeah. right now. Yeah, they've been brutal, although the biggest tanking teams are in the Eastern Conference. We talked yesterday about how the Eastern Conference, the balance is changing. But what happens when that balance is changing means that the bottom end teams just can't buy a win. And that's what we're seeing right now. The Magic are 7-35. The Detroit Pistons, even after drafting Cade Cunningham, are 9-31. And I guess to be fair to them, they got probably more than any other team, they have gotten crushed by health and safety protocols. They've missed their starters all year. One of the guys they did sign in free agency, Kelly Olynyk, has not been available for them. But the Rockets have 12 wins. The Kings have 17. I wonder if the Spurs might just start resting guys because they have 15 wins. If they were able to get a top 5 pick and they were able, you know, obviously to retain Derek White and Deontay Murray, they could, you know, kind of like they did with Tim Duncan, get lucky in the middle of a very competitive run.
Is Sacramento ever going to be good? By lifetime, no. At like 2 good years.
I mean, no, they fired Luke Walton, and Luke Walton with his 46% win rate was the most winning coach in Kings history.
Unbelievable. All right, well, coming up next, it's been a surprise season for the New England Patriots in a lot of ways, almost winning the division, making the playoffs even to some as a surprise, but they're up against it for sure going into Buffalo this week. We're going to look at their player props coming up next on FanDuel. Stay on the grid. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Matic with you here on the show as we take a look at tonight's props that you can get in on before tomorrow. Because, Davis, we got the Patriots and Buffalo Bills coming up in upstate New York on Saturday night. Of course, weather always a big factor in these games. You know, the AFC continues to be a little perplexing, Davis. Early on in the season, you would have never figured the Patriots to have a chance to win the division, let alone be the number one seed. And then as they're winning, I mean, I personally didn't think that they would just crash and burn sort of like they did toward the end of the year. They did have that 50-point game against Jacksonville. And I got to be honest, Buffalo has not been as good as I thought they would this season. Like, I'm not expecting a 15-2, Davis, but even in the games that they won, to me, they did not look like the best team in the AFC, although they very well could be at the end of these playoffs, because I have no idea who's going to end up winning the AFC. So up in the air game for sure for me going into Saturday night.
Yeah, this one doesn't feel very up in the air to me. I think for the New England Patriots to win this game, they're going to have to get very fortunate in terms of the things that the variance things that drive football games. So turnovers, you know, fumble recoveries, things like that. It's very hard for me to imagine the New England Patriots being able to run on the Bills the way that they have in their huge games, right? You know, they have had a couple games where they scored 50 points, but those were against bottom feeding teams where Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris both had over 100 yards and both scored two touchdowns. You know, one of my friends, Hayden Winks from Underdog Fantasy, I think he explained the Patriots team in the most succinct way. I could never do better than this, but he said that if the Patriots did a 53-man relay race against every other team in the NFL, they would finish last. I think that's the absolute best way to explain where they are. They're slow. They have absolutely no playmakers on offense. You know, they signed Jonnu Smith, kind of hoping he would be that guy. And Damian Harris and Ramondre have performed very well, but you're not going to win playoff games running the ball 35 times. I mean, maybe if you're the San Francisco 49ers, but they have Debo and Eli Mitchell, guys who are really fast, guys who are game breakers. So, I mean, Craig, you know, if the Patriots get down 10 points in this game, that feels like a completely insurmountable hill for them.
It does, but they haven't been down 10-0 in almost any game this season. So I wonder what will happen in this one. I'm leaning toward taking points in virtually every game this weekend. I think things are going to be upside down. But let's take a look at some of the player props here, and we'll start off with Mac Jones. Mac Jones is prop on FanDuel. His passing yards, Davis, 204.5 minus 114 to win 100. And, you know, certainly Jones has gone over some of these. He's gone under some of these. The recipe for success for New England, and some of these could actually be an under if they could run the ball 30 or 40 times. But legitimately speaking, in order for the Patriots to win, I probably think he's got to go a little bit over this, maybe 220, 230.
I think the over here is the bet, mostly because I think that this total is assuming a competitive game. The Patriots don't get down too much. And remember that the weather is bad here, but it's sort of interesting. I was just on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football podcast before this talking to Rich Rebar, and he made the note to me that a lot, it's actually more common in games where the point total swings quite a bit due to bad weather, but it's mostly just cold. It's not a ton of precipitation. It's not a ton of wind. Those games actually have the propensity to go over. And so what I don't really think the Buffalo Bills passing offense is going to be all that disrupted, which means that we're going to see more dropbacks from Mac Jones and the Patriots. So I think either way, Patriots win, Patriots loss. I like the over here.
Okay, let's move on to Ramondre Stevenson, whose total on FanDuel is 41.5. And again, minus 114 are the odds here. And Davis, very clearly, if the Patriots say farewell to Damian Harris in 2022, Stevenson, you're going to look at his numbers and not really know the whole story, because this kid has a real chance, I think, to be great in the NFL. But simply put, as long as Harris is healthy, Davis, I don't know. It just doesn't seem, not only that they fully commit to both backs, it almost seems like it's the Harris show unless he is hurt, and then, or if they're up big. And then at that point, that's when they sort of turn it over to Stevenson. So, I mean, he's got to get 12, 13 carries, I think, to guarantee this over 41.5.
Yeah, I mean, my guess would be that Damian Harris is viewed as the clear lead back in this game. And I think it's going to be kind of hard for Ramondre to get there, not only just because of Damian Harris, but Brandon Bolden actually against the Miami Dolphins more carries than Ramondre and the same amount of targets as Ramondre. They are using that three-man backfield, and they give some carries to Kendrick Bourne. They have been giving about one carry a game to Jonnu Smith. So I love Ramondre. You know, I drafted him a ton this last year. We'll probably even be drafting him instead of Damian Harris when we get to the 2022 fantasy football season and we're talking about them then. But I'm going under here. I mean, I think these lines are, this seems, I don't know, 5 or 6 yards too high. This Bills defense is phenomenal. You know, the number one defense in DVOA this season.
All right, let's move on to the wide receivers. And Kendrick Bourne, after, what, September, October into November, looked like he was going to be the sneaky top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. Of course, things slowed down quite a bit for New England as they had a little bit of a losing streak. Bourne, working with Mac Jones all season long, has seen him during the season, has seen him in practice this week, and says nothing has changed heading into this game.
I think he's doing a really good job. Kind of the same thing, you know, same guy. He's a football player, and it's just football to him. So that's what's most exciting. He like, and I seen Brett some that he's excited about the pressure. So that's even more dope to hear and know you going with a guy like that with that kind of confidence, because no matter what happens, you know he's going to stay the same. So I think that's what I see, is just the same guy that we've been seeing, and he's ready wholeheartedly.
All right, well, let's move on to Kendrick Bourne, because if we were looking at this number, Davis, in October or November, you would have said, wait a second here, 32 and a half? I'm going over this thing with Kendrick Bourne. But things sort of evened out over the course of the season, to say the least, and that's where we're at here with his total going into this game against Buffalo on Saturday night. And actually, the odds are a minus 110 here for whatever reason on FanDuel to win 100. And who do you like? Which number do you like here best, Davis? Because, you know, Bourne can catch a 25-yard pass and shatter the over, but recent history is telling you you're not going to know until the fourth quarter on this one.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take the contrarian opinion here, and I am going to take the over. I have stated my opinion on this game. I think that the Patriots are going to have to pass to win, might even have to pass just to stay competitive. Certainly, we know they will be trying for all four quarters. That is an interesting thing with playoff games that you don't take into account, but when you shift from the regular season to the playoff season, in a blowout either direction, right, Patriots losing by 20, Patriots winning by 20, the starters are going to play more than they would, you know, right, they get an extra series, maybe even the entire game. So I'm actually going to go over here. I mean, Bourne has gone over this number a fair few times this year. I guess it is worth noting he was at exactly 33, so just a half yard over this in week 16 when these two teams played. So I'm going to be on the over here.
Okay, and then finally, this was a gift all season long, Davis. Anytime touchdown for Hunter Henry, but betting on his under in the total amount of yards, because, I mean, a prime target of Mac Jones in the end zone, but if you look at Henry's game logs, my gosh, like, this guy rarely went over 40 yards in any games this season. His total is 32 and a half, and unless the Patriots have some big master game plan that includes Hunter Henry, I mean, I don't know. I couldn't look toward the over here either.
Yeah, I have a hard time figuring this out. I mean, the weird thing is Bill Belichick gave these guys so much money. Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith got so much money in the offseason. I think they're $75 million in guaranteed money between the two of them, and zero 100-yard games between the two of them. Now, Hunter Henry did score a truckload of touchdowns, nine mm-hmm. touchdowns on only 75 targets. So that's certainly, I mean, you can't complain about that return. But this would be one that maybe you would throw it in a same game parlay, which, you know, all of our legal sports bettors there in New York, you guys now have access to those. I do wonder if you would throw the under here in if you were betting under on the game. If you were betting on the Patriots to win, I don't think you would expect Hunter Henry to go over this number. But I think I would be leaning under here.
Yeah, and a good player. You're right, though. It is sort of bizarre that at the beginning of the season, that's what we figured, that New England was just going to be chucking passes over the middle to Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry all season long, and they didn't even do that. So I'm not really sure why they signed them, but I suppose Belichick has his reasons. He's gotten to this point. He's the one guy that when you get to the playoffs, you don't really ever question, because he has this game plan that always eliminates the top guy on the other team. So we'll just have to see. In terms of what New England has to do, you think, like, a scenario to win the game, Davis, is it basically like to you, I would say if the score is 13-10 on either side going into the third quarter, I feel really good having the points. Like, as long as the game is close, I feel really good having the points.
Yes, I think that's true. I mean, I think the Patriots' avenue to winning is just making Josh Allen's life miserable, you know, forcing a couple turnovers. Because once Josh Allen has thrown one interception and taken one bad sack, I think he'll probably start to press a little bit. The coaching staff, I mentioned this earlier in the week, the Bills coaching staff, they get really nervous when Josh Allen is kind of having one of those sketchy Josh Allen games. they get a little bit too conservative. So I think that is New England's path to winning. It's just really getting after Josh Allen.
All right. Well, coming up next, a little bit more exciting, the Buffalo Bills offense led by their offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll. Looks like this could be his last go-round with Buffalo. He's being interviewed by several teams in the NFL.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie.
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts. One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs
Stop it! They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Well, and there appears to be a good chance he has another gig. We'll look at the Bills props on FanDuel next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Of course, over on the FanDuel Sportsbook, in addition to putting a little money down on DFS, we're going to help you out with some player props for the Saturday night game between New England and Buffalo. We took a look at the Patriots in case you missed it. Just hit that rewind button over on YouTube if you're watching us live. Thanks for being part of our show today. Let's start off with the player props for the Buffalo Bills and their quarterback, Josh Allen. Would you believe that over the time that Josh Allen has been a member of the Buffalo Bills and their starting quarterback, he has more wins against New England than any other quarterback combined in 7 years before that. That tells you how good Josh Allen is, I suppose. Allen was asked about his matchups with New England this season and basically said that every game is a different one.
Every game has just a different flow to it, a different type of situation, a different feel. But again, it's the guys that Bean and Sean have brought in, type of guys we have in the locker room, the leadership that we have, the trust that we have in one another, and we're going to need that come Saturday night because, again, it's hard to beat a team twice in a season. Obviously, that speaks for both sides because we're 1-1 on the season. But, again, they beat us at home, and that's where we're playing this game. So we got to be ready for whatever they can throw at us. And, again, it's going to be a 12-round slugfest, in my opinion. It's going to take all 4 quarters to win a game.
Two vastly different games, Davis, that we saw, and ironically, the one game that's probably talked about the most in the NFL this season, when you think about it, just that game with the weather where they were just running the ball back and forth, and New England won, and Buffalo was all upset. Needless to say, Josh Allen's total in this game, Davis, it is 243.5, minus 114 to win 100. Certainly, Josh Allen does not have to throw for 350 yards in this game to win, especially if it is a close game. Which one do you like here, over or under?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably my recreational sports better brain, also my DFS brain, because I do think that Josh Allen is a pretty appealing option, both on the 2-game slate that he's in and in the 6-game slate that spans Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. You know, Josh Allen does have more games this year over this total then under this total, which is I love that napkin math. That's certainly it's not a very precise way. I believe we have him projected over this number on dailyroto.com and our output model, which is something that I always like to use to check up against these props. But as I was saying with the New England Patriots, you know, I think that there is some bad information bleeding into this line and that the total has been bet down. People are kind of expecting this to be a slow, slogging type game. And yeah, it's going to be really cold. I mean, what's the forecast? It's going to be like 5 degrees for this game, but it's not projected to be, you know, the 50 mile an hour gust that we saw in that awful regular season game, which you're right. Randomly, you know, just that random divisional game on, I can't remember if it was a Thursday night or a Monday night, but it did. It ended up being one of the most talked about games of the regular season, and it did have huge implications on playoff seeding and everything. But it's just weird that that game is really sticking in our memory. I am going over on this one, though. Though I will say, this one is okay to me, but the one I really like is the over on Josh Allen's rushing prop. I saw it at, I believe, 23.5 yards. That's the one, that's the Josh Allen over that I really like.
Yeah, it's interesting. At the end of the NFL season, if they said to you, okay, Davis, you have 15 seconds, name the games that you remember the most this year, that game would definitely be, at least for me, that game would definitely be in the conversation. No doubt Raiders-Chargers as the second one, and probably the Thanksgiving Day game with the Raiders and Dallas. I mean, beyond that, I mean, I know you watch a lot of Chiefs games, so it's probably different for you. But for me, like, it's just from the 360 view, those are like the three that I remember most from this season. All right, let's go over to Devin Singletary, who is now the, primary ball carrier for the Buffalo Bills. When was the last time we heard that? Willis McGahee? Marshawn Lynch? I don't know. It's been a while, it feels like. 62.5 minus 114 on the money line there to win $100 over under Devin Singletary. I maybe should have mentioned Antoine Smith, Thurman Thomas. Buffalo's had some really great running backs, but they have not been a running team and have not given one guy the ball since Devin Singletary in the last 3 weeks. And we're going on years of that here.
You know, this is a fascinating one because it's so driven by recency bias versus what Devin Singletary has done, you know, not only this season, but just the entirety of his career in Buffalo. So he has 19 carries in week 18 against the Jets, 23 carries against Atlanta, and then back in week 15, he had 22 carries against Carolina. Weirdly enough, against New England, only 12 carries, 39 yards, but it was targeted 6 times in that game. If you actually look at the entirety of Devin Singletary's career, only 2 100-yard rushing games. And they did an interesting thing that I think flew a little bit under the radar, but they made Zach Moss active in that Jets game in week 18. And I think they were maybe preparing on bringing him back in the fold because Zach Moss hasn't really been used in a game since the week 4 game against Houston when he had 14 carries, 61 yards. I can already see this playing out in my mind. We already talked about it is cold. Maybe the Bills do want to be a little bit more run heavy in this game, not expose Josh Allen a ton, maybe not put a ton on film, right, by the way, because the Bills, I think they fancy themselves as Super Bowl favorites. I don't think they would want to give away all of the things that they've been practicing and planning on for their inevitable postseason run. So I'm going to go against the grain here, and I'm going to say that all three Bills running backs get carries, and obviously, you know, we are going to see Josh Allen run a fair bit in this game as well. So I'm going to go under on Devin Singletary, even though I expect them to win and to cover.
All right. Well, one of the players that has the most postseason experience on the Buffalo Bills, of course, it's got to be Stephon Diggs. A couple of seasons with Minnesota in the playoffs with that huge touchdown against the Saints a few years ago, and then back in the playoffs again last year. He was asked about what Buffalo does to stay calm in a big playoff game on Saturday.
No need for any heightened anxiety. You get a little bit more anxious because you want to get out there. You want to prove it to yourself and to the people around you. For us, I feel like we went in with the right mindset. We had our ebbs and flows throughout the season, and it kind of built this team. You know, we're a tight-knit group. Everybody here is pretty much close. Everybody's cool. So it's like we've been through the good and the bad. You know what I'm saying? Coming out on the back end, trying to get hot late, and trending in the right direction, we did that. So now we got to take the next step and be consistent. you know, we're really just trying to go 1-0. You know, it sounds so cliche, especially during the season when everybody's sick of 1-0. But at this point, going 1-0 is everything.
68.5 is Stephon Diggs' number going into this game this weekend. Davis, if I'm not mistaken, in the playoffs last year, there were a lot of folks who thought that this was going to be a fantastic run for Diggs. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Gabriel Davis was a pretty popular player last playoffs as well. Nonetheless, 68.5, if Josh Allen is throwing for 300, you could just take this to the bank because he'll go over this number for sure. But I think it's an interesting number because 243 kind of puts, Diggs right in this range here. The explosives that we saw from Diggs in 2020 have not been the same, without a doubt, in 2021. But second season here in the NFL, how does Diggs get it started off?
Yeah, Diggs had an amazing postseason run for the Bills. He had 6 for 128 against Indianapolis, 8 for 106 against Baltimore, scored a touchdown in both of those games, and then only 6 for 77 against Kansas City. Gabriel Davis had a big game in their first playoff game. He had 4 for 85, including he had 4 for 85 against the Indianapolis Colts. And then also the thing you would not expect was Cole Beasley was a big part of their postseason success. He had 7 for 88 against the Kansas City Chiefs. But I mean, I am taking the over on Diggs here all day. I mean, this feels very, very low to me. This certainly feels like a contest in which the odds makers have just decided the team isn't going to be throwing very much. But Diggs' target load, I mean, it's just been unbelievable all year long. He's been very disappointing relative to where he was drafted in fantasy football, for sure, which is playing into this. But, I mean, his numbers are not that different. He actually has more touchdowns this season than he did last season. He has far fewer receptions, but it's just because his target rate went down. He was targeted basically the same amount. He caught 76% of his passes last season, only caught 62% of his passes this season. I think he's basically the same player. I think they are pretty much calling the offense in a very similar manner. So I have no worries about Stephon Diggs, and I am going to go over on this yardage number here.
All right, so Stephon Diggs going into the game this weekend, the primary target, of course, for Josh Allen, does have some other options in Gabriel Davis and Dawson Knox. And then the final player that we're going to talk about here is, of course, Cole Beasley, who in fantasy circles, PPR, fantastic, but you're always rolling the dice a little bit with the amount of yards that he's going to get. I mean, it could be a 4-catch, 25-yard day for Cole Beasley. It could be a 6-for-70-yard day, Davis. And on FanDuel right now, his total is 33.5, minus 110 to win 100. So let's take a look at Cole Beasley here. What kind of action do you think that he gets going into Saturday night's game?
So I was prepared to take the over here, but I don't love this one for a couple reasons. So the first is that Emmanuel Sanders has missed the Buffalo Bills' last three games with an ankle injury, and I believe he was even on the COVID list as well. But if you want to rewind your brain all the way back to the last time these two teams played in week 16, Isaiah McKenzie played in that game with Gabriel Davis and Cole Beasley out due to health and safety protocols. And McKenzie had 11 receptions, 125 yards, and a receiving touchdown. And ever since that game, McKenzie's snap share has increased and Cole Beasley's snap share has decreased. Beasley has been playing a much lower number of snaps on offense. Since returning from health and safety protocols, he's played 46%, 49%, and 51% of the snaps. His season average before that was north of 65%. And Emmanuel Sanders is back. And Gabriel Davis clearly needs to be on the field. He's not going to be playing no snaps behind Emmanuel Sanders. And Diggs is going to get his snaps. So I actually think the under on Beasley here does look pretty good because there are just too many mouths now in this Bills offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you go by the game script of what is expected, then a lot of these go under. But certainly the top guys, Diggs, I agree with you on Josh Allen. I mean, those easily could go over their total too. The great thing about this game, and I think the great thing about actually both games, I would say on Saturday, is that I think in the first 30 minutes of both games, you're going to sort of know what the deal is. Like, I don't think that there's going to be a ton of variance. You know, close game to start will be a close game to finish. And I know it sounds cliche and you can think that about every single game, but it's like, if Dallas goes up, you know, 21-3 on San Francisco, San Francisco's proven that they could come back. Arizona goes down to the Rams. Arizona could come back. But the Raiders and I think the Patriots, if they both go down big in those games, yes, the numbers will be there for our props, but I don't think the odds are as good that they could come back and win or even cover in those games. But can't wait for those games, and they are coming in about 24 hours from now. We got to wrap up the first hour of our show here on Fantasy Sports Today. It flew right by, so stay on the grid with us as we will be right back. We got Alex with our headlines at the top of the hour. We'll set a DFS lineup in the NBA, and then we'll take a look at the Saturday and Sunday slate over on FanDuel with our buddy Jim Sannis. So stay on the grid. Good boy.
Break. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Davis back with you here. We got Alex's update at the top of the hour. We'll also have our headlines. Also, the NFL naming the Pro Bowl team today, or the All-Pro team, excuse me, Davis. And normally we wouldn't care about something like this, but there is one interesting tidbit from there, isn't there?
There is one interesting tidbit. So basically the same people that vote on the NFL All-Pro are going to be the people voting for the seasonal awards. So MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think it's totally one-to-one. Like, I don't think it's 100% of the same voters. But Rodgers was over, I think it was 36 of 50 votes to be the first team All-Pro quarterback. And that would lead me to believe that there are not enough people that think Aaron Rodgers is a bad person and therefore shouldn't win MVP, that he's pretty much locked in to winning the MVP at this point. And you can still bet on that. So our legal sports bettors there in New York, you got all these deposit bonuses. So I think Rodgers at minus 500 for MVP seems like it's going that direction.
If I told you that Aaron Rodgers re-signed with Green Bay for 1 year next year, Davis, what would you project his salary to be for that 1 year?
The highest paid quarterback in the NFL, I would imagine. Though they are in they're in cap trouble, and they have to find a way to play Davante Adams too. So it's not going to be pretty, I don't think.
$50 million?
No, like whatever Mahomes makes, slightly more than
44,
that.
So. Right?
Yeah, so 47 maybe?
Probably, right?
The salary cap did go up. The salary cap did go up, so that helps.
Yeah, what will be interesting is, let's say, hypothetically, New Orleans or Denver or one of these other teams, Davis, come in and say, okay, Green Bay offered you 47, we'll pay you 53 for 1 year, something inside. I think he's going to be the single highest paid player in all sports. Is that possible next year? Probably all the money guaranteed. Yeah. All right, top of the hour headlines with Alex. They're next. Then we'll be right back.